Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. I am so honored to have my guest today, Dr. Brian Charest, who is an associate professor at the University of Redlands, whose work explores civic literacy, democratic schooling, and what it means to build more just educational system, more than just educational system. He has led study away courses to Cuba and teaches the Inside Out Prison Exchange course at Norco Prison, working at the intersection of education and reentry. He is co-editor of Unsettling Education and author of Civic Literacy in Schools and Communities. Dr. Charest, I am so thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me today, Maria. I'm happy to be here and excited to talk with you.
I know you're so busy, and I have so many questions for you, but I'm going to start with my favorite one that I always ask every guest that comes on my
Sure.
show. Your why, your purpose, your passion. I already have a feeling, but I want you to tell and share
Yeah.
that with our audience, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, for me, I think really the genesis of my work and my, career as a teacher really started with my older brother. My older brother, he really struggled. He was diagnosed with mental illness early on in his early 20s. He had to leave college. He, faced substance abuse challenges. He was incarcerated himself. He just he had a tough life, and I saw the way that he struggled, and I wanted to find a way to build bridges and build pathways and work with people who were facing, if not similar, exactly similar challenges that I thought, we could do better as a society to help bridge some of those difficult experiences, if you will. So yeah, so that kind of really got me thinking a little bit about what as a society can we do to improve the chances of for people who are facing who are marginalized and facing challenges in their lives.
Wow, that's pretty inspiring. Walk me through your journey. What steps did you take, school and experiences to
Yeah.
come to this point?
So I became a high school teacher. I started my high school teaching career on the far south side of Chicago. That was a really sort of political eye-opening awakening for me, working with kids in a school district that was predominantly black and brown students who were living in an area of concentrated poverty. It was unlike anything that I had experienced in my own schooling and my own life. And it just really awakened me to the challenges that people in this country face, and people who, who aren't necessarily, the ones that are on the map, so to speak. They're not. They're this was a community on the south side of Chicago where you wouldn't go unless you were working there, and it really just opened my eyes to some of the systemic problems that we have in this country. And I wanted to do something useful. I wanted to work with the students that I was working with and the communities that they were living in, and figure out what could we do together to improve conditions both in the school and in the community. And that's really where I started. In Chicago Public Schools, they had something called service learning. So every student had to do 40 hours of service within the community, and that became a space for doing the kinds of things that I thought would be valuable, working with communities to hear what they thought would be valuable, working with students and listening to them, and trying to figure out what were the kinds of things that they thought needed to be changed in the community. So kind of trying to take a step back, seeing the big picture, but also recognizing that I wasn't from this community. I didn't grow up in this community. So I really needed to look for the solutions really within the community, as opposed to sort of parachuting in and trying to say, hey, here's how we ought to do things here. And so that was a real education for me as a teacher, to learn from my students and to learn from the community where they lived.
Awesome. And as a teacher, I can imagine you're amplifying this mission every day. Is there anything else in addition to that that you're doing to just create more awareness?
Yeah, I mean, so it's been a journey. So I started out as a high school teacher in Chicago. Then I went back to do a PhD in Chicago at the University of Illinois, and now I'm in teacher education. I work in teacher education at the University of Redlands, as you know, and I've always had an affinity for doing community-based work. So finding out ways to bridge the school or the university with community-based initiatives, and so through that kind of interests of mine, I've done a variety of things, study away being one of them. I feel like study away is a really impactful kind of transformative kind of learning experience for students to experience a different culture, a different way of life, a different way of thinking about the world. But also through the Inside Out Prison Exchange Program. And that is a course where we take 10 students from the University of Redlands and we go into the prison and they take a course alongside 10 incarcerated students. And there again, this is in my view, a really transformational educational experience, a high impact experiential learning that you can't replicate that in a traditional classroom. So students, go into the prison, they spend a semester there, they work and learn alongside incarcerated students, and they meet each other across these really profound social boundaries. These are groups of people that wouldn't otherwise, I think, come together and collaborate in this way without something like the Inside Out Prison Exchange course. And it's quite different than what you typically see in prison education, where universities will send a faculty member into a prison to teach a class. Well, we bring students with us and we create, a different type of learning environment by bringing college students in to learn alongside, we call them inside students and outside students. That's where the name comes from. But we're all students in this class together. So it's not like we're coming in to teach the students who are incarcerated. And in fact, it's interesting because the students on the inside, so the incarcerated students, they really value this experience of having the opportunity to take a college course. So my students that come from Redlands, I think the first couple classes, they're quite surprised that, these guys have done all the reading, they've highlighted, they've got their notes, they've got their questions ready to go. And they really raise the bar academically for the students coming from Redlands. Because, if you've grown up in a world where college was sort of always the expectation, you can sort of take it for granted, and these guys in prison, they're not really viewing it that way. They see this as a real second chance, an opportunity for them to do something with their lives, to pivot, to change the direction of their lives in a way that is really powerful. And the other thing I would just say about the Inside Out Prison Exchange Program is, we don't have technology in the prison, so there are no phones and there are no laptops. And we're in a circle. It's very discussion, seminar-based type of learning. So that really, I think, raises the level of intensity because you can't hide. You can't sit behind your screens in the back of the classroom. And you've got to be willing to, be vulnerable and engage in a way that I think is often, again, hard to replicate in a more traditional educational setting. Sorry, I think you're on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. That
That's okay.
leads to my next question. How does learning alongside incarcerated students change the perspectives of the traditional college students, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I alluded to some of that by saying how different the experience is for them. I would say one of the big takeaways is that I think the students from Redlands see that there's all of this potential that's really, it's going sort of to waste in a way for because if you think about all the people who are incarcerated who aren't in these types of programs, I think they see, people who are locked away in these institutions in a totally different way. And I think again, they see that there's possibility for these people to be rehabilitated, to come out of prison and be contributing members of society in ways that, when you see incarcerated people in the movies and on television, it's a very different kind of experience to go face to face with somebody, to go into a prison, to be part of disrupting, what in education we like to call the school to prison pipeline. They become part of what we would describe as the prison to school pipeline by participating in, a course, a college course that is bringing people who are in prison into the education, back into the education system, and giving them a pathway back to higher education, which in turn, I think, leads to all kinds of different opportunities for them, when they're released, when they re-enter society. And the truth is that, the majority of people who are locked up are going to get out. And they're going to be living down the street from you and I. And the question is, what do we want them to be like when they leave these institutions, right? Do we want them to have these opportunities to really think and reflect on their lives, sort of who they were and who they want to be in the future, by providing them, the types of programming like education, that can really reduce recidivism rates, but also put them on a path. Like our student Fidel, who we were talking about on the thread, who just recently had his record expunged. He was formerly incarcerated, came to the University of Redlands, got a graduate degree, and now has a he's a licensed counselor. I mean, he is an example of what can happen, of the type of success story that's possible with the right kind of supports and the right types of incentives available to an individual. And unfortunately, Fidel is a bit of an outlier. It's all too rare that you see somebody kind of go all the way through the system and succeed in the way that he has. He's got a letter, a certificate of rehabilitation from the governor. He had his record expunged, and these are all testaments to his own persistence, his work ethic, and the opportunities that he saw. It's really about providing this sense of possibility for people who might not otherwise have it.
Yeah, it's so inspiring, right? If he can do it, hopefully others will believe that they can do it as well. What has been the most surprising or impactful moment you've experienced teaching inside Norco Prison?
I mean, there have been a few. I think, like, I started to talk about one of them. I think for students in particular, I'm still surprised, every semester when I'm able to teach the course, at the sort of quality of the academic work that the students do. And I feel a little bit bad saying that, but these guys come in and they are just ready to go, and they will go toe to toe with the top students that I've seen in graduate programs, both in Redlands and in Illinois, where I've worked previously. And I think for most people, that would be a truly surprising fact. I think another surprising thing and interesting thing that's happened is, I'm a runner, and I don't know if that came out in in some of our earlier exchanges, but I run with the Skid Row Running Club in Los Angeles, and this is a group of runners that sees running as a way to transform people's lives who are trying to get back on track. We start in Skid Row at the Midnight Mission. The majority of our runners are formerly incarcerated, formerly unhoused, people who are living in the mission and are trying to get their lives back on track. A lot of them have substance abuse, history of substance abuse, and they're using running to get healthy, get their minds and their bodies healthy. So the way this connects up with the Inside Out is I would talk about Skid Row and Skid Row running with these guys, because a lot of them would parole out in Los Angeles, and I would say, hey, when you're out, you need to come run with us. We're at the Midnight Mission at 6 a.m. on Monday and Thursdays, and on Saturdays we do a long run together. And so I had guys who graduated out, left the prison, and came and have run with us at in Skid Row. But to make a long story short, I had a student in one of my classes in Norco who sat on a board and represented inmates within the prison. And he was a guy who liked to work out, and he said to me one day, he said, the Skid Row thing, it sounds really cool, but a lot of us are not, we're not getting out for a while. We're going to be in here for 3, 4 more years. why don't you start a running program in here, like in Norco? And when he asked me that, I felt like, I couldn't say no. So after about, I want to say 6 to 8 months of working through the prison bureaucracy, we started the Born to Run running club
Wow.
in the Norco prison, which is still going to this day. We meet on Saturdays. We run from 8:30 to 10:30 on the yard in the prison. We started out with about 10 guys in the program, and we've got about 60 now with a waiting list of over 100 guys who want to get
Wow.
into the club. It's bittersweet because Norco Prison is closing. There's a bunch of prisons in California that they're trying to close, which is great. I think we need fewer prisons. The downside is that, when the prison closes, then the programs that are there don't necessarily live on. So we are
Right.
going to have our final 10K, 5K half marathon race next Saturday in Norco. We bring in medals, we bring in a timing race clock, we get them race bibs, and we set it up like a regular race that you would find outside the prison. And after next week, we're going to be looking for a new home for the Born to Run prison running club. And we've been in talks with CIM, California Institute for Men in Chino, and it seems like they're interested. So we're really hopeful that we're going to be moving over there with the run club. So, to answer your question, that was a surprising thing to me. Like, I never thought when I went into this work, doing the education piece, that I would find myself, kind of in this whole other space, kind of taking one of my passions that outside of academia, which is running, and sort of building on that inside the prison. And it's different to hang out with guys in that environment than in a classroom. Classroom is great. You can be vulnerable in a classroom, but there's nothing like running, 6, 7 miles on a track with a bunch of guys, and just sort of talking about whatever comes to mind. You kind of get to know each other, and you're going through that physical kind of struggle together. And so there's a kind of there's a kind of bonding, and sort of friendships get built that way, in a way that I think is different than in a classroom setting. So so that's been surprising and really inspiring to me, as a person, to see these guys who come out. Some of them who have never run before, and they start out walking, and we get them up to a point where they can run, a few miles on the track. And that growth, again, is just another one of those things where you start here, and then you kind of start to see new possibilities as you participate.
That's pretty fascinating and very brave of you too, because I would think about safety a little bit, but
Yeah. 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 Somebody was asking me that, actually. I think it was last Saturday on a run with one of the guys. He said, when I came in here, I was looking over my shoulder all the time. And he said, but now, I'm more comfortable in this space, and I don't fear for my safety. And he said, he asked me, like, I don't know what it must be like for you, who come, you come into a prison, you teach a class, you do this running program, and you get to kind of see it in this kind of different way. I wouldn't say that I'm ever quite comfortable in a prison. Like, you always know you're in a prison. There are COs there. The guys are in their blues, as they call them. They're in their prison uniforms. And we're in all black as volunteers, so they can distinguish between volunteers and inmates. But I will say, I don't fear for my safety while I'm in there, right? But you definitely know you're in a prison, which, has its whole other kind of set of sort of psychological realities that you're thinking about, that are sort of always running in the background, if you will.